2 Chronicles 21 through 23. Then Jehoshaphat lay down with his fathers, and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his son Jehoram became king in his place. He had brothers, the sons of Jehoshaphat: Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, Azariahu, Michael, and Shephatiah. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. Their father gave them many gifts of silver, gold, and precious things, with fortified cities in Judah. But he gave the kingdom to Jehoram, because he was the firstborn. Now when Jehoram had taken over the kingdom of his father, and gathered courage, he killed all his brothers with the sword, and some of the leaders of Israel as well. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 8 years in Jerusalem. He walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done. For Ahab's daughter was his wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord was not willing to destroy the house of David because of the covenant which he had made with David, and because he had promised to give a lamp to him and his sons forever. In his days, Edom broke away from the rule of Judah, and appointed a king over themselves. Then Jehoram crossed over with his commanders and all his chariots with him, and he got up at night and struck and killed the Edomites who were surrounding him, and the commanders of the chariots. So Edom revolted against Judah to this day. Then Libnah revolted at the same time against his rule, because he had abandoned the Lord God of his fathers. Furthermore, he made high places in the mountains of Judah, and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to be unfaithful, and led Judah astray. Then a letter came to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, "This is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. Because you have not walked in the ways of your father Jehoshaphat, and the ways of Asa, king of Judah, but have walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and have caused Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to be unfaithful as the house of Ahab was unfaithful, and you have also killed your brothers, your own family, who were better than you, behold, the Lord is going to strike your people, your sons, your wives, and all your possessions with a great plague, and you will suffer severe sickness, a disease of your bowels, until your bowels come out because of the sickness day by day." Then the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and the Arabs who bordered the Ethiopians, and they came against Judah and invaded it, and carried away all the possessions found in the king's house together with his sons and his wives, so that no son was left him except Jehoahaz, his youngest son. So after all this, the Lord struck him in his intestines with an incurable sickness. Now it came about in the course of time, at the end of 2 years, that his bowels came out because of his sickness, and he died in great pain. And his people did not make a funeral fire for him like the fire for his fathers. He was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 8 years, and he departed with no one's regret. And they buried him in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. Then the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his place. For the band of men who came with the Arabs to the camp had killed all the older sons. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to act wickedly. So he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father, to his own destruction. He also walked by their counsel, and went with Jehoram the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to wage war against Hazael, king of Aram, at Ramoth-Gilead. But the Arameans wounded Joram, so he returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which they had inflicted on him at Ramah, when he fought against Hazael, king of Aram, and Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Jehoram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel, because he was sick. Now the destruction of Ahaziah was from God, and that he went to Joram. For when he arrived, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to eliminate the house of Ahab. And it came about, when Jehu was executing judgment on the house of Ahab, that he found the princes of Judah and the sons of Ahaziah's brothers attending to Ahaziah, and killed them. He also searched for Ahaziah, and they caught him while he was hiding in Samaria. They brought him to Jehu, put him to death, and buried him. For they said, "He is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart." So there was no one of the house of Ahaziah to retain the power of the kingdom. Now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she rose and eliminated all the royal children of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeth, the king's daughter, took Joash the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons who were being put to death, and placed him and his nurse in the bedroom. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada, the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah, so that she would not put him to death. He kept himself hidden with them in the house of God for 6 years, while Athaliah reigned over the land. Now in the 7th year, Jehoiada gathered his courage, and took captains of hundreds, Azariah the son of Jehoram, Ishmael the son of Johanan, Azariah the son of Obed, Messiah the son of Adiah, and Elishaphat the son of Zikri. And they entered into a covenant with him. And they went throughout Judah and gathered the Levites from all the cities of Judah, and the heads of the fathers' households of Israel. And they came to Jerusalem. Then all the assembly made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And Jehoiada said to them, "Behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord has spoken concerning the sons of David. This is the thing which you shall do. A third of you, the priests and Levites, who come in on the Sabbath, shall be gatekeepers, and a third shall be at the king's house, and a third at the gate of the foundation, and all the people shall be in the courtyards of the house of the Lord. But no one is to enter the house of the Lord except the priests and the ministering Levites. They may enter, for they are holy, and all the people are to keep the command of the Lord. The Levites will surround the king, each man with his weapons in his hand, and whoever enters the house is to be put to death. Therefore, be with the king when he comes in and when he goes out." The Levites and all Judah did according to all that Jehoiada the priest commanded, and each one of them took his men who were to come in on the Sabbath, with those who were to go out on the Sabbath. For Jehoiada the priest did not dismiss any of the divisions. Then Jehoiada the priest gave the captains of hundreds the spears and the shields and quivers which had been King David's, which were in the house of God. He stationed all the people, each man with his weapon in his hand, from the right side of the house to the left side of the house, by the altar and by the house, around the king. Then they brought out the king's son, and put the crown on him, and gave him the testimony, and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him, and said, "Long live the king!" When Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she went into the house of the Lord to the people. She looked, and behold, the king was standing by his pillar at the entrance, and the captains and the trumpeters were beside the king. And all the people of the land rejoiced and blew trumpets, the singers with their musical instruments leading the praise. Then Athaliah tore her clothes and said, "Conspiracy, conspiracy!" And Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains of hundreds who were appointed over the army, and said to them, "You shall not put her to death in the house of the Lord." So they seized her, and when she arrived at the entrance of the horse gate of the king's house, they put her to death there. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between himself and all the people and the king, that they would be the Lord's people. And all the people went to the house of Baal and tore it down. And they broke in pieces his altars and his images, and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. Moreover, Jehoiada placed the offices of the house of the Lord under the authority of the Levitical priests, whom David had assigned over the house of the Lord, to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and singing according to the order of David. He stationed the gatekeepers of the house of the Lord, so that no one would enter who was in any way unclean. He took captains of hundreds, the nobles, the rulers of the people, and all the people of the land, and brought the king down from the house of the Lord, and went through the upper gate to the king's house. And they seated the king upon the royal throne. So all of the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was at rest, for they had put Athaliah to death with the sword. Matthew 27. Now when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus to put him to death, and they bound him and led him away, and handed him over to Pilate the governor. Then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse, and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? You shall see to it yourself." And he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and left, and he went away and hanged himself. The chief priests took the pieces of silver and said, "It is not lawful to put them in the temple treasury, since it is money paid for blood." And they conferred together, and with the money bought the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. For this reason, that field has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then that which was spoken through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one whose price had been set by the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, just as the Lord directed me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, "So you are the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said to them, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not offer any answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they are testifying against you?" And still he did not answer him in regard to even a single charge. So the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the Passover feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the people any one prisoner whom they wanted. And at that time they were holding a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was because of envy that they handed him over. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message, saying, "See that you have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. And the governor said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" They all said, "Crucify him." But he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" Yet they kept shouting all the more, saying, "Crucify him." Now when Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. You yourselves shall see." And all the people replied, "His blood shall be on us and our children." Then he released Barabbas for them, and after having Jesus flogged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort to him. And they stripped him and put a red cloak on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. and put a reed in his right hand. And they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him, and took the reed and beat him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the cloak off him, and put his own garments back on him, and led him away to crucify him. As they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, whom they compelled to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave him wine mixed with bile to drink, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments among themselves by casting lots, and sitting down, they began to keep watch over him there. And above his head, they put up the charge against him, which read, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. At that time, two rebels were being crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. Those passing by were speaking abusively to him, shaking their heads, and saying, You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He has trusted in God. Let God rescue him now. If he takes pleasure in him, for he said, I am the Son of God. And the rebels who had been crucified with him were also insulting him in the same way. Now, from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those people who were standing there, when they heard it, said, This man is calling for Elijah. And immediately one of them ran, taking a sponge, and filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave him a drink. But the rest of them said, Let us see if Elijah comes to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and gave up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. Also the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city, and appeared to many. Now as for the centurion, and those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and other things that were happening, they became extremely frightened, and said, Truly this was the Son of God. And many women were there, watching from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, while caring for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Now when it was evening, a rich man from Arimathea came, named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate, and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him, and Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his own tomb, which he had cut out in the rock, and rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb, and went away. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary, sitting opposite the tomb. Now on the next day, that is, the day which is after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate. And they said, Sir, we remember that when that deceiver was still alive, he said, After 3 days I am rising. Therefore, give orders for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him, and say to the people, He has risen from the dead. And the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, You have a guard. Go. Make it as secure as you know how. And they went and made the tomb secure with the guard, sealing the stone. Acts 21. Now when we had parted from them and had set sail, we ran a straight course to Cos, and on the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And having found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we came in sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the left, we kept sailing to Syria, and landed at Tyre, for the ship was to unload its cargo there. After looking up at the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days, and they kept telling Paul, through the Spirit, not to set foot in Jerusalem. When our days there were ended, we left and started on our journey, while they all, with their wives and children, escorted us until we were out of the city. After kneeling down on the beach and praying, we said farewell to one another. Then we boarded the ship, and they returned home. When we had finished the voyage from Tyre, we arrived at Ptolemais, and after greeting the brothers and sisters, we stayed with them for a day. On the next day, we left and came to Caesarea, and we entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had 4 virgin daughters, who were prophetesses. As we were staying there for some days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and he came to us and took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands, and said, "This is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way the Jews in all Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and hand him over to the Gentiles." When we had heard this, we, as well as the local residents, began begging him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul replied, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And since he would not be persuaded, we became quiet, remarking, "The will of the Lord be done." After these days, we got ready and started on our way up to Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea also came with us, taking us to Mnason of Cyprus, a disciple long-standing with whom we were to stay. After we arrived in Jerusalem, the brothers and sisters received us gladly, and the following day Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. After he had greeted them, he began to relate one by one the things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard about them, they began glorifying God, and they said to him, "You see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law, and they have been told about you, that you are teaching all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to abandon Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children, nor to walk according to the customs. So what is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. Therefore, do as we tell you. We have 4 men who have a vow upon themselves. Take them along and purify yourself together with them, and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads, and then everyone will know that there is nothing to what they have been told about you, but that you yourself also conform, keeping the law. But regarding the Gentiles who have believed, we sent a letter, having decided that they should abstain from meat sacrificed to idols, and from blood and what is strangled, and from sexual immorality." Then Paul took along the men, and the next day, after purifying himself together with them, he went into the temple, giving notice of the completion of the days of purification, until the sacrifice was offered for each one of them. When the 7 days were almost over, the Jews from Asia, upon seeing him in the temple, began to stir up all the crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who instructs everyone everywhere against our people and the law in this place. And besides, he has even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place." For they had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian in the city with him, and they thought that Paul had brought him into the temple. Then the whole city was provoked, and the people rushed together. And taking hold of Paul, they dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. While they were intent on killing him, the report came up to the commander of the Roman cohort that all Jerusalem was in confusion. He immediately took along some soldiers and centurions and ran down to the crowd, and when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the commander came up and took hold of him, and ordered that he be bound with two chains. And he began asking who he was and what he had done. But among the crowd, some were shouting one thing, and some another. And when he could not find out the facts because of the uproar, he ordered that Paul be brought into the barracks. When Paul got to the stairs, it came about that he was carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob. For the multitude of people kept following them, shouting, "Away with him!" As Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he said to the commander, "May I say something to you?" And he said, "Do you know Greek? Then you are not the Egyptian who some time ago stirred up a revolt and led 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness." But Paul said, "I am a Jew of Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no insignificant city, and I beg you, allow me to speak to the people." When he had given him permission, Paul, standing on the stairs, motioned to the people with his hand. And when there was a great silence, he spoke to them in Hebrew dialect, saying, Proverbs 10:23-32. Doing wickedness is like sport to a fool, and so is wisdom to a person of understanding. What the wicked fears will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the whirlwind passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The hope of the righteous is gladness, but the expectation of the wicked perishes. The way of the Lord is a stronghold for the upright, but ruin to the workers of injustice. The righteous will never be shaken, but the wicked will not live in the land. The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverted. Psalm 22:19-31. But you, Lord, do not be far away, you who are my help. Hurry to my assistance. Save my soul from the sword, my only life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of the wild oxen. You answer me. I will proclaim your name to my brothers. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. And stand in awe of him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised nor scorned the suffering of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried out to him for help, he heard. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I shall pay my vows before those who fear him. The afflicted will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. May your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations will worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth will eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust will kneel before him, even he who cannot keep his soul alive. A posterity will serve him. It will be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born that he has performed it.